If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me to the book of the Acts of the Apostles. I'm really going to be preaching from the book of Joel, but I want to read the passage from Acts 2, first verse. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the word Pentecost in the Hebrew means 50th, the 50th day after the Passover. We are Pentecostal. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Probably they were not in the upper room, as you have been led to believe. They were probably in the temple court. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I want to take my subject tonight from the second verse where it said, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. It happened on the day of Pentecost, the sound of Pentecost. The sound that transpired. If you don't know when you got it, you might lose it and not know when you lost it. Thank God something happens when you receive the Holy Spirit. The sound of Pentecost, would you bow your heads? Father, as we minister, we do so in Jesus' name. We're so utterly, totally dependent upon Thee. We would ask that You would help us to deliver our soul tonight. I need physical strength as well as spiritual strength. And anoint these people to hear and receive of Thy word. Help us to preach as of the oracles of God. Anoint our tongue, make it as the pen of a ready writer, and our lips as flames of fire. Help us to decrease ever as You ever increase. We'll ask it all in the name of Jesus, and everyone said amen and amen. In about 1965, I had the privilege of preaching a camp meeting in Texas with one of the great giants of the Pentecostal faith, A.N. Trotter. It was in the church that this young lady's sitting here on the second row that her father pastored, Reverend Carl Alcorn. I felt so inadequate attempting to preach with one of the greatest Bible expositors in the whole world, but he was patient and gracious and kind with me and to me. In that meeting, he told us of his going back to Africa. He'd been to Africa for some 12 years, various different trips, missions, activity. And he was leaving this meeting. It was his last meeting in the States before going to Africa. He was going to a place that I had never heard of called Ouagadougou. It was then known as Upper Volta, now known as Burkina Faso, in West Central Africa. He stayed for, I don't know, 5, 6, 8, 10 weeks preaching in scores and scores of churches. Last year, we went to Burkina Faso, to the city of its capital city, Ouagadougou. to do some television work, to do a television special. When we got out of our plane, a blast of hot air hit us. The temperature must have been 115 degrees at least. As we went to wait to go through customs, a number of missionaries were there to meet me, Jim Woolsey, Donnie, and all that were with us, Dave Older King. And as they were clearing all of the television equipment through customs, the missionaries were talking to us, and one of them mentioned Brother Trotter and that meeting, or those meetings that transpired that 20 odd years ago. And I, when he said it, I turned and wheeled and I asked him, I said, "Were you here?" He said, "I was here then." He said, "Most of our preachers were baptized in the Holy Ghost, native pastors, in those series of meetings. Hundreds, 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 maybe even thousands, one could say, were filled with the Spirit in those series of crusades." And then he said, as a little postscript, "The results of that revival is still going on today." I stood there, I still see it indelibly imprinted on the recesses of my mind. That small terminal in Ouagadougou in Africa. And I started to weep. The tears started to flow down my face. And I thought, "Oh God," as I turned my face away from the brethren so they wouldn't see me, "the Holy Ghost is our secret. And that I have just stated is not just a little trite, cryptic saying. It is the truth. The Holy Spirit is the sinew, the fiber, the muscle, the strength of the move of God on this earth, of the Pentecostal move. You can build the Bible schools, and I can say this because we're building one. We're starting a seminary in 1988. You can do all of that, though, but without the Holy Spirit, it is a total waste. The Holy Ghost is the power. The Holy Ghost is the song. The Holy Ghost is the strength. The Holy Ghost is the move. The Holy Ghost is the action. The Holy Ghost is the leader. The Holy Ghost is the teacher. The Holy Ghost is the power. The Holy Ghost is that which makes the church a living dynamo." All the degrees in the world will not amount to the proverbial hill of beans without the Holy Ghost. That's the reason we fill this church and this school with preachers. Not educators, preachers. Men like Brankle and Greenaway. We have others that are on missions trips right now. They can preach a hole through glory. I want these students that come to this school to be exposed, not to the academicia, but to old-fashioned Holy Ghost preaching, full of the Holy Ghost, where lives are changed, sick are healed, souls are saved, believers are filled with the Spirit, bondages are broken. Glory to God. Now, to this of which I speak, there is a sound to it. There is a distinct sound that goes along with what I'm talking about. There is a sound to Pentecost. Sad to say, in the Assemblies of God, Church of God, Pentecostal Holiness, Foursquare, and myriads of independents, many of the young people don't know what I'm talking about. The younger generation has never heard that sound. This morning we experienced it. This morning we experienced it. You can't explain it. You can't write it up in a book. You cannot draw a diagram or a diaphragm of it. The only thing you can do is participate in it. That's it. It has its distinct sound. There is nothing in the world like it. You've got 500 that are shouting glory, 300 weeping, 400 dancing in the spirit, others that are shouting to the top of their lungs, others that are whispering, others that are falling out on the floor, others that are dancing in the spirit, others that are speaking in other tongues, others that are singing, and all of it at the same time. That's the sound of Pentecost. That's what I weep for, thirst for, cry for, pray for, fast for. I told a group of preachers when we went to lunch today, finally. I said, you witnessed God's psychology in action this morning. That'll heal broken marriages. It'll heal broken lives. It'll heal dispossessed souls. It'll heal lives that are broken and torn. It'll heal broken hearts. It will heal bruised souls and bruised spirits. That's what I'm talking about this morning. Money cannot buy it. Educators cannot teach it. It is a distinct sound from heaven, a product of the Holy Ghost. I sat up there, and I'm in this all the time. But it flowed all over me. It flowed through me. It healed me. It strengthened me. It energized me. It lifted me up. It strengthened me. It flowed over me like a river. It put years onto my life. It is the power of the Spirit, Holy Ghost therapy, a sound of Pentecost. I'm not talking about something worked up. I'm talking about a definite, distinct move of God. I didn't mean to spend this much time on this introduction, but it's important. That's the only thing that's going to carry you through. That is it. If you were here this morning unmoved, honey, I don't care how many churches you belong to. You better hit these altars when I give an altar call, because you need to get saved. You just plain need to get saved. And if you were here this morning and you don't have any interest in it, and it doesn't move you, something's wrong with you. I mean, something is wrong with you. You say, well, I'm just not emotional. Yes, you are. You're just emotional in the wrong thing and not emotional in the right thing. That's the trouble with you. All right. Let's go to Joel. You have trouble finding Joel, it's over there hanging around Ezekiel. It's a little bit after it. Only has three chapters to the little book. Joel was the Holy Ghost prophet of the Old Testament. He was the one that Simon Peter quoted on the day of Pentecost. In the last days, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Peter was quoting Joel. Now I want to show you what I believe the prophet, some 2,500 years ago, gave us about the sound of Pentecost that pertains to these days in which we live. Now listen to me. There have been great revivals in history. Martin Luther, when he nailed his 95 theses to the door in Wittenberg, Germany, started the Reformation, or at least catapulted it to prominence. There were the great revivals with Finney, with Whitefield, Moody, Sunday, and on back Savonarola, others. But the revival you are living in today is the only revival that was prophesied in the Word of God. In the last days, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. As important as the Reformation was, God the Holy Ghost didn't say anything about it. As important at all as all of these moves were, the prophet said nothing about them. But as far back as 2,500 years ago, God the Holy Ghost prophesied of this revival that we are living in right now. It is the greatest move of God the world has ever known. Now I want to say that again, because a lot of people says, well, we really are not seeing anything happening today. Just because no fire is burning under your pot doesn't mean there isn't fire burning. There is a move going on in this world. Do you realize that 10,000 people a day, 7 days a week, are being won to Jesus in Central and South America? Think of what I'm telling you. 10,000 a day. In Africa, it is at least that many or more that are coming to Jesus every single solitary day. Because the prophet told us, in the last days, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. I'm going to say this. Do you know why the Pope is running all over the world? He can't sit down and get a breath until they shove him back out again. Do you know why? He's called the traveling Pope. You know why? He's not sightseeing. He's not interested in the scenery. He's trying to stop what I'm talking about. They tried to stop us in Costa Rica. Am I right? They did everything in the world they could do to keep us from getting the stadium. Costa Rica's Catholic. The president of Costa Rica had to sign for us to get the stadium, and there was so much pressure on him to not sign it that he signed it and left town. They tried to get Mother Teresa to come and she wouldn't come. They tried to get the Pope to come and he wouldn't come. So they got some Catholic rock bands. I'm serious. They brought in some Catholic rock bands to try to stop the crusade, to try to draw crowds and tell them, don't go, don't go, don't go, don't go. Priest would hold up our little book, a letter to my Catholic friends, and say, don't read this. Our best Catholics are reading it. Don't read it. Well, every Catholic in the world wanted to read it then. Glory to God. Glory to God. But God gave us a move of heaven that flowed into that place with the largest crowds that Costa Rica had ever seen. Because he said, in the last days, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Hallelujah. I mean, there is nothing in the world that can explain that moment when you tell 80,000, 90,000 people to bow their heads and you're about to give an altar call. And you watch them start running down through those grassy corridors to come to Jesus Christ. In the last days, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. He didn't say anything about any mercy drops around us falling. He said, I'll pour it out. I don't know what you're getting ready for. You may be making plans to backslide. You may be making plans to do away with your Sunday night service. You may be making plans to retreat or withdraw. But I'm making plans, in spite of demons and devils and hell and high water, to see the greatest move of God we have ever seen in the history of this planet. Because he said, in the last days, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. This organization is making plans to touch this world. And we're not going to the easy places either. Shut up, speaker. We're going to Taipei, Taiwan next year. Taiwan is, what's the major religion there? Buddhism. We're going next year to Bangkok, Thailand for crusade. Heart of Buddhism. We're hitting the devil. You know why? Because Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The devil will build his walls, but the church of the living God will roll across it and kick it over and do mighty things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Glory to God. 1988, listen to me. You have a television, listen to me. 1988, we're going to Salt Lake City, the heart of Mormonism, to take this mighty Jesus Christ, this mighty gospel of the kingdom that Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus baptizes in the Holy Ghost, and Jesus is coming again. Hallelujah to God. Glory, can't you feel that? Glory to God. Glory to God. Because he said, in the last days I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. That means the Buddhist. That means the Mormons. That means the Hindus. That means the Shintos. That means the Islams, the Muslims. That means the Mormons. Glory to God. Glory to God. We're going to take this gospel to the heart of communism. We're going to take it all over this world, because he said, in the last days, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Glory to God. We don't have any reverse in this Holy Ghost engine. We're about ready to roll into overdrive. Heaven is ready. Angels are ready. God is ready. Jesus is ready. The Holy Ghost is ready. And this planet is ready. For he said, in the last days, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, I'll pour it out. I'll pour it out. I'll pour it out in India. I'll pour it out in China. I'll pour it out in Russia. I'll pour it out in Africa. I'll pour it out in Asia. I'll pour it out all over the world. Get ready, world, the Pentecostals are coming. Get ready, those Holy Ghost-filled tongue talkers are coming. Get ready, those shouting saints of the living God are coming. Worship him. Worship him who made heaven and earth. Worship him who gives men life. Worship him, the God of all the ages. Glory to God. He preached it this morning. The same fire that touched Isaiah's lips. The same fire that led the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. The same fire that fell on the holy brazen altar. That's the fire that fills our hearts. And there is nothing in the world or hell that can stop it. Nothing can stop it. Glory to God. I don't know if you feel that or not, but I feel that. All right, let me tell you what Joel said. Well, I've been telling you what Joel said. Let me tell you some more what Joel said. He said, second chapter, first verse. Pick up your trumpet. Stand. Blow that trumpet. Blow it again. Humble of the Rabba Shakal of Mohandai. Glory to the living God. Come on, blow it one more time. You by television say, what are you doing? I'm obeying the book. He said, blow ye the trumpet in Zion. And sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. The sound of Pentecost. It sounds negative, but it is the sound of alarm. What do you mean? Listen carefully. I'm going to tell you what I mean. Let me tell you something. When you read these things, like in the Word, blow you the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm. He didn't tell me, but I'll guarantee you that somewhere up in glory, somebody's blowing a trumpet. Because everything that's done here is an echo of what is already going on up there. Every time a person prays through to the Holy Ghost and starts to speak with other tongues, the sound of Pentecost, that is a sound of alarm to a world that's forgotten God days without number, telling them it's about ready to wind up. In the last days I will pour out of my spirit. It's the sound of alarm to the cities, to the nations, to the kingdoms, to the governments, to backslidden apostate religion, that you'd better wake up. Every person praying through to the Holy Ghost, every individual that prays through to the Holy Ghost, every person that goes through speaking in other tongues, it's another sign to the world. A sound of alarm. The judgment's coming. You hear me now? Let me tell you this. Let me tell you by television. You don't fool with this Holy Spirit. You can talk about Jimmy Swaggart, and you better be careful how you talk about me. But that's all right. Go ahead and talk about me. But you better keep your mouth off the Holy Spirit. People that say it's of the devil, they're on serious, troublesome ground. You're talking about the work of God. People that say that speaking in other tongues is no more but than babble or incoherent chatter or the gibberish of some incompetent mind, sir, you are on dangerous, dangerous ground. If you don't want to believe what I'm preaching, that's your business, but you just better keep quiet, because it's of God. In the last days, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And every time somebody goes through speaking in other tongues, I want you to think of something. There has never been anything that's been fought any more than the Pentecostal experience. I mean, never. I mean, it would have been impossible for it to have survived had it not been of God. It has been fought by the most powerful religions in the world. They built their dams up to stop the inflow of this river. But the dams started breaking, and they stuck their little theological fingers in the cracks trying to stop it. It's like trying to stop a Louisiana hurricane with a palm branch. But glory to God, the river of the Holy Ghost is sweeping man's opposition away. Hallelujah to God. Sound of alarm. I could preach all night on that, but I don't want to take the time. I want to give us time to get back here in the morning. Joel 2 and 15. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. The sound of Pentecost is not only the sound of alarm, but the sound of weeping, fasting, and prayer. Repentance. Now let me do a little preaching here for about 3 minutes. We have two kinds of gospel today in the world, especially America. You have the fun gospel and the conviction gospel. The fun gospel is power of positive thinking, possibility thinking, dominion teaching, confession principle, prosperity gospel. All of that is your fun gospel. It requires absolutely nothing of you. You hear what I'm telling you? It sounds good. The thing in North Carolina is a fun gospel. That's all it is. Our people ought to be on their faces in sackcloth and ashes, begging God to forgive us and have mercy upon us because of our sins, with weeping, with prayer, with repentance, and with fasting. That's the sound of Pentecost. It's not popular. I want to tell you something. Do you know why we are seeing, and others, I'm not the only one, and thank God, I pray God will raise up a jillion more, but the reason we're seeing these revivals in Central America, South America, and other parts of the world, you know why? It's not because Jimmy Swaggart's anything. I'm nothing, plain nothing. Don't say amen that loud, just... Just a simple nod of the head will be enough. I mean, me and my wife know what me is, but I don't want you to know. God knows. But listen carefully to me. When I was a kid, and in the early days of the great Pentecostal message, we were not big, but it was lethal. We had saints of God that would lay on their faces for hours and hours and hours, weeping and crying and groaning in the Spirit. Groaning in the Spirit for God to move. I received a letter about 6 months ago. And a dear brother wrote me, he must be in his 80s now, from Texas. He said, Brother Swaggart, and I think he said in 1944, I don't really remember if that was the exact year, but I think he said 44. He said, after weeks of praying and crying and before God and seeking God, he said, God spoke to my heart and said, in the latter days, at the last time, there is coming a revival out of Louisiana that's going to touch the world. He said in 1944, Louisiana was nothing, and it ain't anything now. And he said, I couldn't understand what the Spirit was saying, but he said, I'm starting to understand it now. What we're seeing is not because of the singers or the equipment or this preacher or even television. It's because somebody with groanings in the Spirit, with weeping and fasting and prayer, prayed through years ago a move of God that is now taking place, and you can give the credit to that back there 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. Ladies and gentlemen, my heart breaks. It literally breaks inside when I see a world that's without God. Our churches are cold and empty and dry. And we are engaging in foolishness. when we ought to be weeping between the porch and the altar. Joel 2:23, I've got to hurry. After the fasting and the solemn assembly, then he said, "Be glad, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God." The sound of Pentecost is not only the sound of alarm and the sound of weeping and prayer and fasting, but it's also the sound of gladness and joy. If you take the shouting out of Pentecost, you have stripped the glory from this message. Now listen. In Psalm 29 and 9, at the latter portion of that ninth verse, it says, "In his temple doth everyone speak of his glory." That is not the correct translation. We have Hebrew scholars at this college. They'll verify, I'm sure, what I say, even though I haven't asked them. But whenever those King James translators put that together in their high church liturgical fashion, they lost their nerve when they came to that. They were not accustomed to it. They didn't understand it. Because the original signature reads, "In his temple, let everyone say glory." Glory! 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 I'm asking you something. If David, the sweet singer of Israel, could shout as he shouted without the Holy Ghost, without the new covenant, how much should we tonight that are under better promises with a better covenant full of the Holy Ghost? We ought to walk in the church shouting. We ought to shout while they're singing. We ought to shout while they're preaching. We ought to shout while they're praying. We ought to shout at home. We ought to shout when we get up in the morning. We ought to shout when we go to bed at night. We ought to shout when the storm is coming. We ought to shout when the sun is shining. We ought to shout. Let everything that hath breath shout, praise the Lord. Now let me help you with something. I've got to quit, I'm tired. Let me help you with something. Whenever you shout, say, "It's not my makeup." I know it's not. It's not the makeup of a corpse either. Whenever you shout the glory of God, I don't care how you do it, you are saying to the world and to heaven, God is alive, Jesus is victorious, he is seated by the right hand of the Father, and I'm going to make it somehow, some way, and I'm going to shout glory all the way. He said, "Ye saints, be glad and rejoice." Now let me help you now. It's easy to shout here in a camp meeting with men like Charles Greenaway and Don Brankle preaching. That's no problem. But whenever you leave the miracles and you get in the boat and you're rowing all night long and the muscles start aching and hurting,
and your back starts just breaking, and the wind is contrary, and they've given you a pink slip, and they've just increased your rent, and the doctor says you've got a spot on your cheek or head or toe or something, and about daylight, you hadn't slept all night long, you're wiped out. You're wiped out spiritually. You're wiped out physically. You're wiped out emotionally. You're wiped out financially. You're just wiped out. You're no longer in camp meeting now. You're back home. And the dog has bit you. And you hadn't slept all night. And you look up and you see Jesus. And he says, shout. You say, shout now? I'm shout at camp meeting, man. You got 5,000, 7,000 more people there. Ease, but out here in the middle of the lake, my arms are breaking. My back's hurting. Wind is contrary. Jesus, that's what he said. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Shout. That's what he said. It's easy to shout now. This morning, I didn't have much voice, but I shouted and shouted and shouted. This afternoon, Charles Greenwell, I shouted and shouted. I shouted and shouted. If a preacher doesn't preach something I can shout to, I don't want to hear him. He says, shout. It's easy to shout now, but it's hard to shout when everything is aching and hurting and things are going rough. Hard to shout. You know the commercial they used to use over TV? I don't think they use it anymore. The commercials are getting better than the programs. I tune into the programs to see the commercials. Not really. But remember it. The lady would wash her dishes, and she would bring them out of the dishwasher, and she would hold up the glass, and it would have spots all over it. We remember that one? I mean, she's washed and washed and washed. She takes a rag, she tries to dry those spots off, and she can't get the spots off. And then this announcer, they always have somebody that says, if you have washed your dishes, and they are finished, and there are spots all over them, and you cannot get the spots out, then it comes up on the screen slowly, a big box. And right on the side of it, it has shout. He says, shout it out. Shout it out. Every time I'd get up and go, glory to God. Not because of his commercial, but whatever the devil hits you and he leaves spots all over you, don't whine. Shout it out. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. I will not be happy with that choir. That's a new choir. They're just cutting their singing teeth. They're in kindergarten. I will not be happy with them until halfway of every song they sing, they shout the whole place down up there. It's worth shouting about. praise God, it's worth shouting about. It's the greatest thing the world has ever known. It's the greatest thing heaven has ever given. We are washed by the blood of the Lamb. We're full of the Holy Ghost. He's our healer. He lifts us up. He gives us strength. He leadeth us beside the still waters. He prepareth the table before us in the presence of our enemies. My cup runneth over. We can shout it out. We've got something to shout about. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Praise the Lord, ye people. Praise Him on the trumpet. Praise Him on the trumpet. Praise Him on the trumpet. Glory to God. Praise Him on the piano. Praise Him on the organ. Praise Him on the drums. Praise Him on a high-sounding cymbals. He is the Lord of glory. He is the King of kings. He is the fairest of 10,000. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.